Well, good evening. I really enjoyed the participation of each one of you in sharing the memory passages, the memory verses that we were, that was the theme verses for this weekend. And I appreciate your prayers. I really do. And I feel like Brother Joe that sometimes it seems like a little harder to preach weekend meetings than a whole week. It seems like my mind is a little bit on overload tonight, but I'm hoping that you won't see that. But thank you so much for your prayers, and we will save a little bit of a speech for the end. I think we're going to start with a little bit of time for the children. And I'm going to just look up a verse right quick that I did not have it printed. And we will start with a toy. Now, I brought a toy to church tonight so that way I can play with it. Now, this toy is a very special toy for me because this is a toy that my dad made for me. Okay? Now, he had made me one of these when I was a little boy, and I don't know what happened to it. I think I either lost it, broke it, stole it. I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, I asked my dad, could you please make another one? That way I can show my children the toy I used to have. And he was so kind enough that he made him another one. Okay? Now, this toy is a very unique toy. You spin this fella around. Maybe if some of the children back there can really see that there is a man, is a figure of a man, and maybe we can just do that, and he makes all kind of little gymnastics up there. You see? But we have to wind him up, and then we squeeze this right here, and he does all kind of flips and all kind of neat things. Isn't that pretty neat? What is neater yet is that I can play with it at church. Look at that little fella. He does, he goes around and he does some gymnastics. Do you want to know what the name of this thing is? It's called Piri Pituche. Can you say that word? Piri Pituche? Now, I don't think you're going to find it in the dictionary, okay? I don't know how in the world that name got. I don't know what they would call it in Honduras, okay? Maybe Lula can tell me later what would they call it in Honduras. But that's what we called it. It's a Piri Pituche. And the point I want to make with you children about this little fella is that he is doing exactly what he was created to do, okay? Can you follow that? This fella was created to do some gymnastics in front of church, and he's doing exactly what he was created to do. You see? We do it a little bit slower, and you can probably see a little bit of his efforts there, and he goes around a little fast there, and we're going to go pretty slow. Ooh, he went around. Now he's upside down. Look at that. Oh, isn't that pretty neat? Do you know, children, I guess it's time to put it away, isn't it? Or maybe we can keep on playing with it. Do you know that there is a verse in the Bible that says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. Now, that's a profound verse for the children. In the Spanish, instead of saying vessel, it says an instrument. Well, simply this verse is saying that we can be an instrument in God's hand to do what he wants us to do. And he says, and prepare unto every good work. Children, do you know that you could do a lot of good things for God? Do you know that you could go sing for the elderly? I'm just amazed when we go see the elderly. There's a lot of lonely people in this world. And we go and sing for them and have a little devotions for them. And the people are not paying attention to my devotions. They're looking at who? At the children. They are so blessed to see the little children to come and see them. It don't matter how strategic I become on my devotions. They don't care. They want the children to sing Jesus Loves Me. They want the children to sing The Wise Men. And they're so blessed by that. You know why? Because you're doing what God created you to do. So I just want to encourage you, children, to be a piripituche in God's hands. Okay? Maybe you're not going to learn to do all those gymnastics. That would take a lot of effort and practice to do that. But you can do the things that God wants you to do. Can you remember that? Okay, maybe after church I'll show you that piripituche. Okay, now, for the adults, I think you got the point now where we're going tonight. But before we go there, we have to review, or else we will forget the things that we have learned. What did we talk about on Friday evening? That's a long time ago. Anybody? A bad situation. Where we were in a very bad situation. And I'm not going to review all the points, but we were in a desperate situation. What did we see Saturday night, which was last night? Anybody? Where we are now. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. And there was a couple points. We are alive. We are part of the family of God. We are no more Gentiles, which was kind of on the same point. And we're redeemed by his blood. Those are the three main points that I can remember. I don't know about the other two. I'm going to forget now. I didn't write them down. But this morning, what did we talk about this morning? Christ, our Passover. Do you remember any of the points? What are we doing while we partake communion? What are we portraying, or what do we mean by we take communion? There were 7 points. Anybody? We're showing our thankfulness. Eucharist. What else? We are covered by the blood. 5 more. We left Egypt. Faith in the Lamb. Common union. Yes, we pertain that we're faithful. We'll partake of the bread, meat, and drink. And I'm not sure faith in the Lamb. I'm not sure which one we missed. But anyway, you do have him. You got 100. Okay, I'll put 100 for you on the test. Now, if we will go to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm not going to read the passage this time. And this is not necessarily... The message is not from Ephesians chapter 2 necessarily, but I do want to read verse 8 through 10 one more time. That was one of the most important points from last night that I missed on my review, is that we are recipients of the gift of God. We're recipients of the gift. Salvation is a gift. Okay? I hope that is very clear. Here the verses, verse through 8 through 10 says this: For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, this is my point. We have been talking about redemption. That is the theme. That was my theme for this weekend. And the goal for this weekend was simply that we will build an understanding of the work of Christ, so to promote a life of thankfulness to him, so we can live for him. Okay? Many people today, we all love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We do. So we're not saved by our works. It's a gift. It's a free gift. We are saved by grace. And many people stop there. And I want you to, and maybe you have heard this before, but I hope that we can understand that redemption through Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. Praise God for that. But it wasn't just to bring us a free ticket to heaven. Yes, it did. It brought salvation free. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it wasn't just for that. You see, many people stop there. Many people stop there. Okay, praise the Lord. We have a free ticket to heaven. That's great. I'm glad for that. But listen, that verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's on the same breath. Paul is expressing in the same sentences here. In the same verses anyway, not necessarily the same sentence. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So my question is, this is how I would like to connect it. I would like to connect that, okay, we've been talking about redemption. We were in a very, very bad situation. Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came as the Savior of the world. That's what his name means. Savior of the world. Okay? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now we're redeemed. We are under the blood. We are... What else did we say last night? We are alive. For what? Then now what? You see? That's where we're going tonight. That's where we're going tonight. And God has work for us to do. And I hope that the Spirit of God can connect all these messages together. I know I come short on trying to connect all these for you and for me. But I hope the Spirit of God can connect it for us. But here, the title for the message this morning, I just simply titled Doctrine of Conformity. Now, I'm sure you're going to scratch your head. What does that have to do with redemption and living for God? But bear with me. Bear with me. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Huh. I see. Okay, so we were saved, we were redeemed, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. For what? To be conformed into the image of his Son. That is the doctrine of conformity. I'm sure you have heard the doctrine of nonconformity, right? We like to talk about nonconformity, and it's a good thing. But he should always be in the context of conformity to Christ. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I hope you got it. But we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conform simply means to adapt or conform oneself to a new or different condition. Or to change, undergo a change, become different in essence. Losing one's or its original nature. Let me translate that for you. I don't know how many of you men pour concrete. I do a fairly bit of concrete work. Not a whole lot, but yeah, enough. Anyway, you know what we do? Whenever you're going to pour concrete, you have to form it up. You're going to pour a porch. You got to put forms up. That way the concrete pours and hardens, conform to the forms. That's what conform means. To be inside of the form. Right? We don't just get the concrete truck and say, hey, come on, buddy. Just empty your 9 yards over here. And all of a sudden, there's a pretty nice walkway. It don't happen. You got to put it forms. conform it. That's what Christ has come to redeem us. That you and I would become conformed to the image of his Son. Okay? Let's keep on going. Another way that it has been translated, the same word in the Greek is somorphos, which you're probably familiar with the English word to morph. That means to change in nature. Here's a verse for you in Philippians 3:21 that it uses a different phrase. Same word, who shall change our vile body that he may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Fashion like unto me is the same word, okay, as to conform. You know what's going to happen whenever Christ comes back or when we die? This body needs to be clothed with incorruption. The Bible said this corruptible should be clothed in incorruption, and this mortal needs to become immortal. That's a radical change, isn't it? Yes, it is. We're going to have a body that's not going to decay. Now, that's a lot of faith to believe all that. But that's what the hope is, that we will redeem. And according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Very good. Now you know what conform means, right? You know where we're going. Now it says we need to be conforming to his image. Now, what's an image? You know what an image is. Some of you were asking for an image of my family. You use a different word, though. You say, do you have a picture of your family? Right? It was a representation of my family. My family couldn't be here with me this weekend. You didn't get to see them in person, but at least you got to see an image. Right? That's an image. It can mean the exact likeness or a resemblance, a person strikingly like another person, etc., etc. You know what that means. So now we have to look into what is the image of his Son that we need to be conformed unto. First of all, let's remember that God originally in the garden, when God created man, he gave man his image. Don't forget that. He says that for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. And you remember what it says in Genesis. And I don't have it printed either. But you know what it says, that God made man in his image. In the image of God created he them. That's what it says. He didn't give his image to the dogs, neither to the monkeys either. But we got his image. What was that image? That it has been my question. That has always been my question. And I thought, I don't know where I picked this up, okay? I didn't come up with this, okay? I'm sure you heard this already. There's nothing new under the sun. Maybe you never heard it in this way. But I think of three areas that we were created in the image of God. You ready? God created man wise in his mind. Okay? He created man holy in his heart. And he created man righteous in action. Those three areas, we were created in the image of God. All those things, God is wise. Okay? God, the wisdom of God is passing knowledge. The Bible says we can't even comprehend his ways. And he is holy. His holiness. Yes, that is the essence of his character. God is holy. You know that the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. Meaning emphasizing that. Does the Bible ever say that God is love, love, love? Yes, God is love. But let me tell you, his holiness is much greater. That is the essence of God. And I wasn't planning to say this, but I remember a quote that it says that his holiness cannot accept, I'm sorry, his love can never embrace what his holiness condemns. You got it? His love can never embrace what his holiness condemns. So holiness is a number one character of Christ, of God. And he made man in that image. And obviously he is righteous. But you know what happened to that image? It was broken through sin. Sin entered into the world, and sin brought with sin, we brought death. And that image was broken. It was shattered. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Romans says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's a desperate situation. Okay? Now God came, Jesus came to redeem us from that situation and to restore that image of Christ in us. So what do we mean? First of all, let's think about wise in his mind. The wise in his mind. Do you really think that? Okay, let's think about this. What is wise? What is wisdom in your mind? Think about the capacity to think, the capacity to reason, and the capacity to choose. Think about the wisdom that Adam had to maybe name the animals. I know I can get in trouble by saying that Adam was wise, but I think he was wiser than I am, at least in his. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't everything. But I do believe that God created man wise. The capacity to think, the capacity to reason, the capacity to choose. In the same way God chooses, he has a will, but he made man the capacity to choose. Why would he do that? Well, you know what? He wanted a person, he wanted somebody that would choose to reciprocate his love for us. He could have made robots, right? That he would do exactly what he wanted them to do. But none of you want to be married to a robot, right? Or do you want to have a program there at 5 o'clock and she makes the coffee for you and say, honey, the coffee is ready. Have a good day. Bye. And you have to charge it. That way, whenever you come back, the supper will be ready. That would be weird, wouldn't it? I sure you won't want a husband that way, a robot that you have to program. But God created man with the capacity to choose. Now, what is wisdom? You remember, we talk about that wise in his mind. Now, what is wisdom? What is wise? The quality of being wise, knowledge, and the capacity to make due use of it. Knowledge of the best ends and the best means, discernment and judgment. Turn with me to James chapter 3. My point is this, brethren, that God made man wise in his mind, but this was broken. And I'll show you here in James chapter 3 how broken this wisdom is and how God wants to restore the image of his son in the area of wisdom. Here in James chapter 3, we're going to start reading verse 13 through 18. 3:13 and through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Well, we all want to do that. We all want to restore that wisdom. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now here you have two different kinds of wisdom. You have a broken wisdom that we all have. This is what we have inherited by traditions of our fathers. A broken wisdom. What kind of wisdom is that? Is that wisdom that we have envy, we have strife. And James gets extremely hard on us. He says, if you have that kind of wisdom, you know what? What kind of wisdom it is? It's earthly, it's sensual, and devilish. Ouch. Now I'll tell you. In the Spanish Bible, instead of using the word sensual, they translated it animal. It says literally, it says this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, animal, and devilish. Now, what does an animal and sensual have to do? They do whatever their senses tell them to do. You see? Go through the woods. I don't know what kind of snakes you have here in Arkansas. Maybe you have rattlesnakes like we do in Georgia. You go through the woods. Now think about an animal. It's going to react by its senses. You go through the woods and you're going to step on the rattlesnake. Okay? You're going to step on it. You step on it. Do you think the rattlesnake is going to have a word of prayer and say, Lord, I have only one nerve left and this fella is stepping on it. What should I do? The capacity to choose. The snake wants wisdom to know what to do. Do you think that's what it's going to do? Absolutely not. It's going to bite you back before you can say ouch. Try it with a dog. Okay, try with a dog. A dog is eating. The neighbor's dog especially. If the dog is eating and you go and pull the tail, and guess what the dog is going to do? It's going to react by its senses. And it's going to growl at you at best. If not, it's going to tear up a chunk of your leg or something. You know what? This is the wisdom that we come programmed with because of sin. We, many times, we react. That's the first inclination that we have. That is the kind of wisdom that we have because of sin. We're going to react by our senses. And when the brother said something that really struck me sideways, Well, at least we're more educated than that, right? And we're like, God bless you, brother. Go out there by yourself and see if you're blessing him. Or go and see what you tell your wife about it. What kind of wisdom? Don't we need that to be restored? Doesn't that wisdom, it was broken. And now Jesus is saying we need to be conforming to his image. No, that's not the wisdom that God wants to give you. He wants a easy to be entreated. Somebody that thinks and is sober and he says and thinks before they react. You follow that? That's the kind of wisdom that we need. And that's what God wants to do in each one of us. Restore the image of his son. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. And after the image of him that created him. In knowledge after the image of him that created him. Romans 12:2. You know that verse. Be not conformed to this world. But what does it say? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The next point, we should just keep on going. Well, I should say this. Don't we need that kind of wisdom? Don't we need that wisdom that is from above to be restored in our hearts? To make decisions in school? In the family? How to raise a family? How to discipline our children? How to train them? Don't you feel the need of that godly wisdom that comes from above? I am in desperate need of wisdom. There's so many decisions in life. There's so many things. There's so many meetings. There's so many relationship problems. There's so, the brotherhood is such a beautiful thing whenever you come and just see it for a weekend. Yeah, have communion this morning, everybody wash each other's feet. Man, that was beautiful. And I commend you for that. But if you are somewhat normal, like we are, we like to think we're normal in Georgia, but it seems like we have extra problems. Maybe you don't. Praise the Lord if you don't. I don't have a clue. But brotherhood is so complicated. How do we reconcile different opinions, different points of view, without getting into the carnal, earthly, sensual, and devilish kind of wisdom? Don't we need that? Well, let's leave that there. The second one, the second area I wanted to talk about, it was holy in his heart. God made man holy in his heart. But he sinned. And guess what happened? That holiness was broken. Don't you agree with me that the world today, it lacks holiness? I mean, you gotta be kidding me. They don't even know what holiness is. Everywhere you go, there is all kinds of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Don't we need that holiness to be restored? It doesn't take very long into the history of humankind. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we find one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Only five chapters after the creation of man. Guess what it says in Genesis 6 verse 5? It says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Only evil continually. And God decided to destroy the earth. But he saved Noah, hoping he wanted to keep the humankind. We're not going to get into all that because I'm not even understanding the mind of God. But don't you think that's where we are today? It seems to me like almost everywhere you go, it seems like every thought of man's heart is only evil continually. Once in a while, I want to check up on the news. Guess what I find? I find evil. You go on the internet, you want to search something, what do you find? Advertisements. Unholy. It's incredible the immorality that is going on around us. And it's tempting us and it's consuming us and we don't know what to do. We tried filters, we tried this, we tried saying no, we tried this and that. May God help us that the holiness of God may be restored in our lives. That's what he wants. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of the mind, of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness," Hebrews says, "without which no man shall see the Lord." 1 Peter 1:16, "Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy." Praise the Lord that he came to give us free salvation. It's free, but he wants to restore the image of his son in each one of us. And definitely we need restoration in holiness. And the last one is righteous in action. Righteous in action, that simply means acting in according with divine or moral law. Whenever you have heavenly wisdom and you have holiness in your heart, I hope that it will produce the right kind of actions. Right? I think it would. But we don't find that. Remember, the wisdom that we have is earthly. Sensual, devilish, envying, striving. He did something, you react. He did something to you, I'm going to do something worse to him. He came and killed your cats, I'm going to go and kill his cows. Etc., etc., etc. I found a verse that was fascinating. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, it says this. Ecclesiastes is just fascinating to me. It's hard to understand sometimes where he's going, where he's coming from. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29 says, "Lo, this only I have found, that God had made man upright." That God had made man upright. He created man in his image. And then he says, "But they have sought out many inventions." Now the Spanish Bible, instead of inventions, says perversions. So true. God created man upright, holy in his heart, wise in his mind, and righteous in action. He created him upright, but man sought out many perversions. And they keep inventing all kind of perversions. And they trying to portray that it's all normal. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Remember, we're talking about the image of God, the image of Christ was broken in us, and he wants us to be conformed back to the image of his Son. Here in verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And this is verse 11, is so precious to me. "And such were some of you." Okay, let me stop right there. Maybe some of you have been in all these sins. If you were never in these sins, praise the Lord. I just have some good news for you. You would have if it wouldn't be for the mercy of God. That's what the preciousness of this verse is for me. I'm like, man, this is exactly where I was heading. This is exactly where I would be if it wouldn't be for the work of Christ in my life. Exactly the same way. I am no better human being than anybody else. I am prone to do wrong. I was unholy in my heart. I was unwise in my mind. I was following the desires of the flesh. I was following the desires of the mind. But here, "and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Boy, we can preach to 10 o'clock on this verse right here. Y'all ready? Should we take a coffee break? Okay, we're not going to go there. But my point is simple. We want the image of Christ to be restored into righteous action. Not no more following the desires of the flesh. And I'm just repeating myself. I can see that happening already. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And be not conformed," I read this verse already, "to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, God wants us to do what he created us to do. It wasn't just for the children, that piripituche. We need to be an instrument in God's hands to do his will. Now quickly, just quickly, how did this process take place? I call it a process, okay? I wish it would be some automatic thing that God pushes a button on me and all of a sudden I'm wise. I have every correct answer to my wife's questions on raising children. I wish it would be a button that I can push and all of a sudden All unholiness disappear from my phone. All unholiness disappear from my thought life. All unholiness disappear from the world around me. And I walk in white snow all every day and in roses, gardens. I didn't say that right. In gardens or flowers, whatever that is. But it doesn't happen that way. It's a process that we call sanctification. Somebody put it this way. Whenever we talk about justification, we talk about sanctification, we talk about glorification. There's three messages for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so I better stay. Justification, somebody put it, justification is the freedom, is the deliverance from the guilt of sin. Think about it. Justification is the deliverance from the guilt of sin. That happens at the moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You are justified. You are redeemed. You're forgiven. The blood is applied to the post and to the lintel. And you are under the blood of Christ. Now your thoughts are still the same. That impulse of that devilish and animal wisdom that we have is still there. Then we come to sanctification. We start the process of sanctification. That is a process. The process to be deliverance from the power of sin. And the more we yield our lives to the Spirit of God, the more victories we're going to win and the stronger we become. To obey the Spirit of God and not to be grieving the Spirit of God. And one day, glorification would take place whenever we will be delivered from the presence of sin. You see? I'm looking forward to that. There ain't going to be no more temptations in heaven. There ain't going to be no fasting and praying and repentance in heaven. Because we will be delivered from the presence of sin. And that's what I'm looking forward to. How does this sanctification take place? Brethren, it's by allowing ourselves to be directed by the Spirit of God. And growing in the knowledge of His Word. Every time, I can't believe that almost every answer to life's problems is that, okay, how do we get closer to God? How do we overcome sin? How do we become more friendly to other people? You know what? It's by the Word of God. Let the Word of God work in your life and it will be renewing you. You know what? There's a fascinating verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 3:18, 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a fascinating verse for me. It says this, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Sometimes it's a pretty obscure glass. We see the glory of God by faith. But you know what it says? Are changed into the image, into the same image. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now there's another hour message. Now we are to 12 o'clock now. We are changed from glory to glory into the same image. You reflecting God. You reflecting the Word. Somebody read that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. I think it was Brother Jason that read it last night. Saying that the Word of God is quick and powerful. Meaning quick, not necessarily fast, which is fast. But meaning that it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says that it penetrates, I forget exactly how it says it in English. I'm translating from the Spanish now. It says it penetrates unto dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And he's a discerner of the thoughts, I think he said. He mentions all three of them. Your soul, your spirit, and your mind. That's what we need. That's what we need. Don't you agree with me? I got to close this. Don't you agree with me that we need that renewing? Don't you agree with me that God has saved us because he has work for us to do. In Ephesians said that those good works are ordained. Now I forget exactly how he said it. But they were ordained by God that we will walk in them. Yes, praise God, he saved us from eternal hell. And that's exactly what we deserve. But he saved us from that. And now we have entered into the process of sanctification. My question is, are you allowing God to work in you? Are you allowing God to change you and to mold you into the instrument that he wants you to be? That we will glorify God by the works that we do. That's amazing to me, brethren, that God would take such a sinner that I am, and he wants me to work for him. You know what I'm saying? That's incredible. We don't deserve this. But now the Bible said whoever received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God. What a privilege. Don't let it go. Don't throw it away. Allow God to work in your life. Until that redemption will be complete. There will be a day when glorification takes place, and that's when redemption will be completed. In the meantime, there's work for us. And I know I'm repeating myself again and again now, so it's time to close. I just want to take the opportunity to thank each one of you for coming this weekend every night. Some of you came every night, not everybody, but at least the ones that came every night, I want to commend you. And for those that didn't come every night, I know you have reasons you couldn't be here, but God will bless you anyway for being here tonight. And I do want to thank you, Brother Ernie, in a special way for inviting me. It has been a very tremendous privilege of being here. Be fine fellow citizens here in Arkansas. I don't think I have ever been to Arkansas before. And definitely never to Strawberry, Arkansas. So now I think of Strawberry, I have people and I have friends. You know what somebody told me one time? That strangers are friends that we never met before. And I find it that so real. I have made a lot of friends this weekend. And I am sorry if I didn't get to talk to some of you. And it's not that I tried to avoid you, okay? Tried to avoid you. But it just happened. So thank you so much. The accommodations there, Brother Ernie, is tremendously well. I thought about Elisha's room. Brother Ernie got a modern Elisha's room over there. I don't know what Elijah would have done with such accommodations there. Maybe he would have come more often. Maybe that's what I need to do. Thank you all for that friendship, the meals. And guess what? Maybe some of you men don't even know this, but some of these ladies over here send flowers to my wife. Somebody got a hold of your credit card and send flowers to my wife. Thank you all. That means a lot for her. And thank you for the basket that you all made. I'm sure the men probably didn't have much to do with that. But thank you all for the gift. And thank you for the offering as well. I don't think I came for the offering. But what do I do? I just got to say thank you. I will accept it. I didn't come for that. I didn't come to get paid to do God's work. I'm so spoiled. In the times past, preachers risked their lives to preach the gospel. But here, you all just bestow me with gifts and with just friendship and gift of money. It's just spoiling me. But I just praise the Lord for that and thank you. Thank you for whoever put the cup of water here. The Bible says that reward won't escape, just a cup of water. But thank you, that is a lifesaver for me here. So I can keep on going, I can keep on preaching, I guess, but it's time for me to close. Thank you very much for your attention. May God bless you as you go from here. Don't ever take for granted the great salvation that God has given freely to each one of us. Don't ever lose the wonder of it. Don't ever do that. Get it out often. Look at it. Treasure it. Go to bed thinking about it. Get up in the morning and keep on looking at it. And one day we'll sit around the throne worshiping that Redeemer that was also our sacrifice. Think about that. Christ became our Redeemer, but he was also the sacrifice that we needed. God bless each one.